introduce to you a man that has had some influence in my family and our lives. Phil Cana has interned my son and some of the other young men here, and they have never been the same. That is exactly right. Most of you have met Phil by this point, so you got a little sense of what he's about, who he's like. We thought that Phil. Yeah.
Yes. Hello, Ryan. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, as you know, I'm Phil Cana from Sheffield, England. For those of you who don't know where Sheffield is, well, most of the people in Sheffield don't know where Lewiston is. Glory to God. We've had a wonderful visit here in America, and it's been great fellowshipping with Ron and the other leaders here at River City Church. And I was going to say a few words today about the church in general. And you know, it's really quite simple. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Amen? Amen. Oh. In short, I'd say that the church needs to be in the world and not of the world. Do you agree? In many ways, I believe the church should be more like England. We're in the world, but we're an island and we're apart from the world. But we still have a great effect on you people here in America. And, you know, I've really been feeling something strongly in my spirit. Ron, can I just pray for you? Jesus. Hallelujah. Hello? The Lord's been revealing something to me about you, Ron. It's there's been a wound in your heart, Ron, and it has to do with bicycling. And not only on your heart, but on your knees and on your elbows. I believe there's been some wrecks in the past. And the Lord wants to heal you that today. We just pray healing in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Ron. Bless you, brother. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Wow.
So for those of you that don't know Phil Cana, that is not him. Although he's really like you. He might be better than you. I don't know, you know. Well, that's really good. So Phil Cana, Sheffield, England, wonderful friend and a tremendous man of God. Come and preach from 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians? Yeah, come on up.
He can do me better than I can do myself, I think. Well, turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Okay. Just before I share a few things with you, I'd like to do a plug for this CD. I'm a little biased about this because this is our boys' band. They did a launch in July this year, and they hired the largest nightclub in Sheffield and got 900 people out to this launch, and they're doing all kinds of stuff in secular situations as well as churches. And if you want one of these, they're a little expensive as far as North American things are concerned, $20 each, give your name to Yvonne and we can... 25 to Ron. And there's a load of these coming up at the conference. So if you'd like one of those, they are excellent. Although I am a little bit biased. Give your name to Yvonne and then we'll make sure you get hold of one. It's been a delight to come here and see what God's doing. You know, the church the world over is exactly... We're all part of the same body, aren't we? We serve the same God. We're part of the same family. But you can go to some churches and there's... Are we swapping over here?
No, just give it to.
Oh. More space. There you go. All right. I'm all right. I'll be doing that. Nice thought, anyway. But there are some churches you visit that has the same kind of DNA. And within Lifelinks, even within a Lifelinks group, there are different churches within Lifelinks. That adds to the character of the nature of the family of Lifelinks. But there's something about Lewiston that we really would like to identify with. And everything that you seem to be saying and doing is so similar to some of the things that we're about in Sheffield. So we feel very much at home. And marvelous food, marvelous wine, marvelous friends. It's just great, isn't it? I'd like to come back again. That'll be good. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the power of perception. The power of perception. You will recall how Elijah sent his servant to the top of the mountain and asked him, what do you see? He sent his servant up, do you remember, a number of times. Was it seven times? What is it that you see? And he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. But when this guy came back to Elijah to tell him what he saw, what Elijah was seeing was not a cloud, but he was seeing rain. Perception is how you see things. I want you to remember that. Here in Jeremiah chapter 1, this conveys much of the hard work that what God has done into all of our lives. In this occasion, into the life of Jeremiah. Verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I'm sure you know this passage fairly well. But let's go down to verse 6. Carries on. Oh, our sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now these are the verses I want you to notice. Verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree. Do you say almond or almond? Almond, okay. An almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? And I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. So twice there, God spoke to Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree, and later on, I see a boiling pot. And the Lord says, I've been watching, and you have chosen well. Another interpretation of that verse is actually to say, I have seen what you have seen, and you have chosen well what you are looking at. Now, let me explain the context here. God is looking at Jeremiah as an ordained, sanctified man. Right now, God is looking down on this congregation. He's looking on your life, and he's saying, look what I have planned for your life. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, see the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God is looking at Jeremiah. I have called you. I have a plan for you. That's what I see, Jeremiah. But then he flips it and he says, okay, Jeremiah, that's what I see. I've told you what I see in you, but what do you see? God has spoken a great picture over all of our lives. A lot of people have difficulty in seeing visions from God. But the real question is, what do you see yourself in living the dream of God's purposes in your life? It's one thing to understand what God sees, but what do you see? How do you see the plans and purposes over your life? Most of us will say God's given us great promises, and we don't have a problem seeing the promises of God. But the problem is not the God factor. Very often the problem is, what do we see about ourselves? How do we see ourselves fitting into God's plan? So in verse 11, Jeremiah says, I see an almond tree. And the Lord says, that's good, Jeremiah. That's excellent. But what else do you see? And then he went on to say, I see a boiling pot. Now, the historical context here is the fact that Israel was under attack from the enemy. I think it was the Assyrians, wasn't it? And the enemy was about to come from the north and to attack Israel. In the natural, you didn't need to be prophetic to see what was going to take place. There was going to be disaster coming. But when the Lord asked Jeremiah to take a good look at what he saw, he chose to see something different. He chose to see an almond tree. So another way of interpreting this, God was saying to Jeremiah, you have chosen well what to see about my purposes. What I want to suggest to you today is that many people are looking at their lives through the spectacles of boiling pot mentality rather than the almond tree mentality. Sick, negative people look at life through the spectacles of the boiling pot. It's the positive people that look at life through the almond tree. And if we find ourselves looking at life from the wrong perspective, then what I want to say is, it's time to grow up. It's time to get a life. And it's time to get God's revelation on His call for our lives. I wonder if you're a boiling pot Christian or an almond tree Christian. They're the questions I'm going to ask for the next few minutes. Do you see yourself just making it through the day? I have no money and I'm just making ends meet. Well, life is hard and I'm just about surviving. No matter what your circumstances are, I want to suggest to you today that we need to look through the spectacles of the almond tree revelation, not the boiling pot revelation. You know, Jeremiah wasn't going all weird here. There are some weird prophetic people around. Have you noticed? Somebody came to me the other week and said, Phil, I've had this vision. And it wasn't too long ago. And they said, this vision, I saw this flower pot upside down floating through the air. What does it mean? I said, I haven't got the foggiest idea. Weird. There are some weird Christians around. I don't know. Well, there are in England. I don't know about North America. Jeremiah wasn't going all weird here. He was using prophetic symbolism that he knew was familiar to himself, to Israel, and to God. And so when he said, I see an almond branch, he was saying something very significant. In Numbers chapter 17 was the occasion where Aaron's rod budded. Overnight. It was something very significant. It was significant in the history of Israel. In the natural, Jeremiah saw coming judgment. He saw problems. He saw devastation. He saw disaster. But in the spirit, he saw an almond tree. And an almond tree speaks of something that buds almost overnight. So, in other words, what Jeremiah was saying, God was saying, I have called you to be a prophet to the nations. I have a plan for you, Jeremiah. So how's this going to work out? How do you see yourself? Now he could have said, oh, I don't know whether that's me. I don't know whether I'm qualified. I don't know whether I've got the ability or the talent. I don't know whether I was born in the right family. I don't know whether I've got enough money. I don't know this, that, or the other. No, he didn't choose to say that. He chose to say, I'm the man. I'm the man. You've called me, and I'm going to be the almond tree. Now, if there's anything I wanted to say as a phrase that would embody all of this, is I want you to say, I'm the man. Say it. I'm the man. It's generic, by the way, ladies. You're the man. God has called you, and he wants you to have the same revelation that Jeremiah did about his life for you to have about your life. You're the man. God's called you. You're the man. I've heard a lot of ministries moan and complain about a number of things, particularly those that are involved in pioneering situations. You know, there's a sense in which we always need to pioneer, but there's another sense in which it's time to move on and to plant and to build, and some people are forever pioneering and not moving on to establishing something. I believe that even where you are serving the Lord, you are called to build and to plant continually. And that's the aspect of our life and ministry that we need to have. Are you forever only going to be a pioneer? A pioneer is good to a degree, but we need to plant and build at the same time. Some of you are resting on words from the Lord that have been given to you from years ago. And it's true that the prophetic word sometimes takes years to be fulfilled. But sometimes we've got to come to the place where we realize that God can do things overnight. Just like the almond branch budded overnight. Some people are tempted to give in and throw in the towel because the heat of the day is just too much. The problem with that is a lot of people give in right at the point where God's about to break through. Do you know the darkest part of the night is just before the dawn? If any of you are in that place right now where you're saying, I can't cope. I can't carry on. It's never going to work out. I want to encourage you today, you're the man. You can see this through because God can cause that branch to bud overnight. You're the man. And so we need to see this almond branch revelation. We need to make the choice and stop looking at life through the murky mist of the boiling pot revelation. There's a minister in New Zealand, in Auckland, called Paul de Jong. And Paul was planting a church in Sydney, then went back to New Zealand, planted a large church there in Sydney. And in England as well as in New Zealand, they have these personalized number plates for their vehicles. Do you have those over here? And so he had this number plate, and he had this thing that said U space D D E space man, U D man. Wherever he's going, you the man, you're the man, you D man. Until one day he went to school, pick his kids up, and all his kids' friends said, "Why does your dad drive around in a car that says you demon?" He changed it after that. But whatever you've been called into, whatever your purpose in life, you need to say that you're the man. You're the man in your house. You're the man in your place of work. I come to myself, I'm the man for Sheffield Christian Life Center because I believe that that's where God's called me. I'm the man. And we have to look with that perspective in life for us to fully understand God's purposes. And so the almond branch can blossom overnight. In Genesis chapter 30 is the story of Jacob. And you remember he worked for years for his two wives, Leah and Rachel. And during the course of all of this, he was given the flocks to tend for Jacob. And do you remember what he did? We won't bother to turn to it because of time. But in Genesis 30, he describes the picture of how he placed almond branches in the water troughs. And consequently, what happened was when it was time for breeding and all that kind of thing, there were spotted and striped and speckled goats that were born. And the deal was that all those that were born like that were his, and all the plain-coloured animals were Laban's. The stronger animals became Jacob's. The point of all of that is that it wasn't anything specifically in the chemistry of an almond branch that caused the goats to birth striped and spotted animals, but it was what they saw at the time of conception that birthed something specific. They saw these almond branches that were stripped of their bark, and something happened at that moment that caused the birthing to take place. Almond branch revelation. In other words, what you fix your eyes upon determines what we birth in life. God wants us to be almond branch seeing people and not boiling pot seeing people. That's the revelation that God is leading us into as a church. Not as a church that's surviving and maintaining, but a church that's thriving and growing and taking new ground. We must refuse to be boiling pot Christians. Our language, our vision is to be up front in evangelism, courageous and powerful, speaking clearly and boldly about our principled and convicted way of life. And we need to eat, live and sleep from that particular foundation. And if we do that, we'll produce strong people. If we don't, and instead we think from a survival mentality, which is a boiling pot way of thinking, then what's going to happen is we'll produce weak people. Strong people are those who are almond branch thinking people. People of faith. People who look at the purposes of God and not what the enemy has done. And what the enemy's continuing to do around us, focusing on problems. And so the almond branch revelation people are those that live to declare the promises of God. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see that I'm the man. You've called me to be a prophet to the nations. I'm your man, God. I'm not looking at the enemy. I'm not looking at the disaster. I'm not looking at what could go wrong. I'm believing your word. That's what I'm believing for. You've chosen well, God says. Weak churches are those people who are introvert and navel gaze all the time. It's true. A strong church is a church that looks to Jesus to bring deliverance and healing and stuff. Now, I'm not the world's greatest counselor in the world, as Yvonne will tell you. Now, I know pastors are supposed to be good counselors. That's what pastors do. But I've hit on a secret, if you don't promise not to tell anybody. I've found people don't come to me for counsel anymore. It's great. Because, there are some people, they're like leeches. They just drain you of time. And so I hit on something. You might want to try this, Ronnie. It works well for me. These people started to come to me. And you know, it's the same people over and over and over again. I remember saying to them, well, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go away, pray and fast for 3 days. Seek God, and then come back and tell me what God's told you. They never come back again. Do you know why? Either because they can't be bothered to pray and fast, or because they found the answer themselves anyway. But those people that all they're bothered about is looking introvertly at all the problems in life. Now, I'm not knocking counseling. Those of you that are counselors, God bless you. We need them. I need more counselors in Sheffield, that's for sure. But you know what I'm saying? We've got to get to that place where we live ourselves out of an elementary revelation in life. And see the church developing and releasing strong Christians. We have to respond to that call by saying, I'm a favored man of God. You getting the picture? Boiling pot people are those that stew a lot. Actually, they're the ones that are always brewing up trouble. It's true. Okay, let me... Ron's given me 20 minutes. This is a miracle today. I've never preached for 20 minutes before in my life. How many is that? Five? Okay, let me just give you boiling pot perception versus almond branch perception. I'll just give you a few of these things so you get the idea of what I'm trying to say. Boiling pot people always perceive problems. Problem people always perceive problems. There's two kinds of people, Christians. There's people with problems, and then there's people who are problems. But if you think you're one of those people, then you need to get over it, you know. Boiling pot people always perceive problems. And forever seeing demon forces coming against the church. They're forever seeing things that are wrong in life. Boiling pot Christians. Are you a boiling pot Christian? Boiling pot Christians, they look through life through steam and vapor. They say things like, well, you know, we've never done it like this before. Ron, don't you think he's a bit young to be in leadership? Yeah, come on. They'll say things like, well, you know, we tried this once before and it never worked then. I don't think it's going to work again. I've been there, I've worn the t-shirt. That's boiling pot mentality. I wonder how many Christians look at other churches through the eyes of the boiling pot mentality. We have to be so careful that we don't look at other denominations and other churches and what God is doing elsewhere through those particular spectacles. Boiling pot people always live in fear and strife. Always. They're the ones that are negative and spread gossip. Have you heard? Did you know? Do you know what he said to me? Do you know what she did to me? That's boiling pot mentality. That's how rumors start. Most rumors are years old anyway. Have you noticed that? On the other hand, almond branch people, they always see the potential in people. That's kind of what I do all the time. I always try to look at the positive side of folks. Even those that I might not like personally. Now, I'm the kind of nature, I love everybody. But I don't like everybody. You know the difference? There are some people I don't naturally want to. There's some people in our own church who I just want to kick in the teeth sometimes. Am I being too transparent? Sorry. Do you know what I'm saying? There are those folks that you are never going to be buddy relationships with, you know? But the fact of the matter is, God has called every one of us, and we need to see the potential in every one of us, even in those people who you may not personally get along with. Is this right or wrong? I don't know whether it's good theology or not, but there you go. That's where I'm coming from anyhow. But almond branch people see the potential in others. Almond branch people believe in overnight success. They believe, they have that concept that's going to say, we can do this. That's one of my mottos in life. I tell people, you can do this. You're the man. You can get on with this. You're the man. God's called you to do these things. And almond branch people put themselves in that picture of success. They write the script and see themselves winning in life. You know, you're born to be a winner.
Yeah, that's right.
You are. And those of you that look at yourself and say, no, that doesn't happen to me. I never win at anything. I never win at sport. I never win at this. Let me tell you something. You're a winner. You were born to win. You were one of 20 million sperm and you got to that egg first. You were born to win. You're the man. Put yourself in the picture of success. And the church needs to come alive with that perception that you're the man. You're the woman of God. We're not here to play small games in a back alley, are we? We need to be on the big stage. That's what the church is all about. The church is not some effeminate, weak-kneed, kind of whoopee, woozy organization. We're the most powerful living organism on the face of the earth. The Church of Jesus Christ. And you're a part of it. You're the man. So God says to Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? I see an almond branch that's going to bud overnight. And if you're here this morning and you're looking at life and you think, I don't know whether I can cope. I don't know whether I can do this. Well, my word for you today is you're the man. Because God has a plan for your life. Look through those spectacles, not the negative boiling pot spectacles today. Can we stand and pray? Jesus. Jesus. I want you, as I pray, I want you to put yourself in Jeremiah's shoes right now. God is saying to you, I've called you. I've spoken my word. I have a plan and a purpose for you. They're plans that are going to succeed. They're not plans to bring harm or disaster. They're plans that are going to bring success and prosperity. But how do you see yourself in life today? God wants you to choose well how you look at life. And He wants you to choose to begin to see through the almond branch revelation. So as I pray, I want you to begin to receive this concept of God prospering you, bringing you to a place of great fulfillment. Father, as we stand before you today, we want to be a people who have that same spirit that Jeremiah had. I want to thank you, Lord, because you're a God of prosperity and peace and purpose. You're a God that is unfolding all the time your plans for our lives. Lord, I pray particularly today for anyone here who is looking at life through the wrong perspective. I ask, Lord, that the power of perception, looking at your plans, will bring us to a place of complete victory. Lord, anyone that is living in doubt and fear of the unknown, Lord, I pray that you will deliver them today in the name of Jesus. And I ask, oh Lord, that we will come with that revelation to say we're believing you. Lord, those that are struggling because of coping with financial difficulties, broken relationships, Lord, I pray that you will cause them not to throw in the towel in the middle of the night. Lord, we know that the dawn is about to come. And I ask that you will awaken the dawn, awaken our minds and our hearts and our understanding to believe you, that the almond branch of your revelation and of your prophetic word can bud overnight. Lord, I pray that this will be a church that will perceive and see your purposes constantly. That we will not look at disasters and we'll not look at all the problems and the catastrophes of what could or might happen. We'll not look at the natural things in the flesh, but that we will be men and women of the Spirit and live just like Jeremiah did. We pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We wanted to allow a little time for these guys to minister to some folks. So if we could get the worship team to come, and we're going to just sing one song and then allow these guys to do a little ministry. So